She's got everything you need to know. Melissa in the Morning on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Let's talk about the housing crisis in Connecticut. It's something we are focused on here on WACC's Melissa in the Morning. And that's why every month we check in with our housing expert on the show, Renee Dobas, who is the CEO of Connecticut Housing Partners. It's a nonprofit organization. It's been doing great work in Connecticut for the last 30 years, creating workforce and affordable housing in our communities and across the state. Renee, welcome back. I want to focus today specifically on seniors. And I know I shared this story with you and our listeners, but a gentleman in Easton informed me that he would be living in his car with his two cats later on this month if he couldn't find somewhere to go because he was in a situation where he was renting a property. The owner of that property decided to sell it for development or whatever they decided to do. And we saw this years ago with Sacred Heart moving in and trying to expand that a lot of senior housing opportunities also went through this. And they're sort of left with not a lot of options, certainly affordable options, but a lot of places that have wait lists. Do we see this issue in a big way here in Connecticut?
Yes, we do. Previously, I had been talking about how our shortage of affordable housing was 92,500. It's now nearly 100,000. And in the past 3 years in the state of Connecticut, homelessness between 2021 and 2024 has risen 30%. And nationwide, the largest growing homeless population are people 55 and older. So this is becoming a problem because most often seniors' only income is Social Security. And that's not enough for them to be able to pay the housing costs that we have here in Connecticut at this time. This is another interesting story. I had someone reach out to me who is an attorney, so he has means, and his mother was very elderly and living in a home, and apparently she had a mortgage on this home, and the bank took her home because she was unable to pay and continue paying the mortgage. And I had to work really hard to try to find her an adequate place to live. So I'm seeing it more and more. And I think in our daily lives, if we really pay attention and we look around, you're going to see it in your community. You know, when you're driving, you're just kind of looking at the road and driving. But if you look at like these parking lots and underpasses, you're going to see more and more people trying to find a place to live. And it's a shame because, you know, the animals go with them. And we had another case where we had a woman. She was living in her car. She had her cat. And, you know, it's just a sad state of affairs. So we tried to help her as well, tried to get her into the homeless shelters. You know, it's really important if you're homeless and you're living out of your car, you need to get attached to a homeless shelter because there are programs in place, which is the Coordinated Access Network, that will help you find a place to live. So that's really important.
So, you know, it's interesting, Renee, the thing that was pointed out to me with this situation, going back to the example, was, you know, this gentleman had told me that trying to get into, for example, you know, a complex in Stamford, it was some kind of like 5 to 6 year wait list. I mean, is that also something we're seeing, that there are places, but you're talking about being on a wait list for several years?
That is absolutely true. Especially in more dense urban environments, that is absolutely true, because most often that's where seniors want to live because it's easy access to resources. You know, I have a senior development in Wilton, and, you know, it's very close to Norwalk, so there's resources there. And Wilton also has a fabulous senior support services in the town. And often seniors don't want to go there because their feeling is it's too far away. And so I've been finding that interesting, too, because I'm getting ready to break ground in Monroe, where I want to build another senior development. And I'm concerned, will that be the case as well, that they feel that Monroe's too far? My hope was that by building in these suburbs, when somebody downsizes, a senior downsizes, that they can stay in the community that they lived in for 30, 35 years and be close to their families. So it's really a very complicated issue.
Yeah, it really is. And again, Renee Dobas is here, the CEO of Connecticut Housing Partners. And another thing, too, that you had just mentioned, Renee, and I believe this was actually in an article recently. It was in an article last week talking about how Connecticut renters are really crushed by this huge disparity between housing costs and wages. And so even if you find a place, or we find out about these new complexes open up, and I know you and I have talked about this many times, you know, new places opening up and saying we've got affordable housing options, but really the majority of those units are not actually affordable. People, the average Connecticut resident cannot afford to live there. That doesn't really solve anything. So what can be done about that model of, you know, sure, we're creating more housing opportunities, but the average renter cannot get into one of these units?
Yes. So we really need our state legislators to start paying attention to this in a way that it's a crisis. They need to think of it as a crisis and react to it like it's a crisis. And, you know, they're in session now, so they're talking about the bills that they're probably going to start bringing forward. So reach out to your local state representatives. They're very willing to listen. They want to understand. And it's important that they understand, because we don't want bills put into place that may have unintended consequences. So I know that one sweeping bill known as Fair Share, which would create state-mandated housing goals for each city and town, last year was advanced out of committee, but it failed to pass. And because it's very contentious, right? Because it's basically the state telling the local municipality, you must build this amount of units in your community. You must have more density in your community. And so people have really been railing against it. And I understand both sides of the issue. I do understand both sides of the issue. But especially down here in Fairfield County, you know, we have so many wealthy communities, and all the people that are working in those communities, serving the residents of those communities, are priced out. They can't live there. And it's really unfortunate, and it's very discriminating, and it shouldn't be that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, and another thing that we talk about a lot is the 830G, right? I mean, that's another one that continues to be a problem. I do know, Renee, you and I have talked about at the federal level. I would love to talk about, you know, which I realize doesn't really get brought up a lot, interestingly enough, as we're in the midst of a presidential, you know, election season. But at the federal level, you're also pushing for more support and to kind of change the way we're looking at, you know, affordable housing, because what is affordable in Florida is not the same as what's affordable here in Connecticut. And so I know you've also been pushing for more federal regulation and changes there.
Yes, and more access to tax credits, because tax credits are assigned to each state based on population. And we're a small state. We're a small state that has a really big problem. So we need more tax credits. Those tax credits are super important for a developer like myself, because an investor comes in and puts capital into the project, and that's debt that I never have to pay back. And that's how I'm able to have less debt on an asset and then be able to keep the rents lower. And so that's the struggle. And also locally, I've been trying to work with local legislators, because of the bureaucracy of trying to get my projects through the Connecticut Housing Finance Authority and Department of Housing. It takes years, and it shouldn't take years. It should be a streamlined, easy process. And so I've been pushing the legislator to really take a look at, you know, streamlining that process. And so I'll give an example. So an example is, if you discover there's asbestos in a building that you want to renovate and convert to affordable housing, well, every 6 months I have to update that asbestos report, and that costs money. Mm-hmm. Well, asbestos doesn't grow, it doesn't go away, it doesn't do, you know, one report should be enough. You should have the report that identifies that it's there, and then the next report, the management plan of how you're going to deal with removing this asbestos.
Yeah.
So lots of examples like that as we're trying to go through the bureaucratic process. So we're trying to streamline that as well, and I'm trying to highlight that and bring that to the legislative attention as well.
And again, if you want more information on what Connecticut Housing Partners is trying to do, especially in our communities here in Fairfield County, you can always check out their website, cthousingpartners.org, and ask them questions as well. And Renee, I always appreciate having you on the show to talk about our housing crisis. Thank you so much. We really appreciate your time. Let's go to traffic and weather. You're listening to Melissa in the Morning.